Well, I'm excited tonight. I have a couple handouts, and I'm just going to pass this. First of all, I apologize. It was supposed to be one front and back, but there are two on the front. So I apologize. So I'm going to start this one here, and then I'll start this one here. And one of it says, "This is my Bible." You know that, Joel Osteen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I figured it would be just cool to have, so that you can either stick it in your Bible or you can put it on your refrigerator. Just something to kind of declare. I'm into declarations. And you'll see a little bit why tonight when we talk about it. But declaring something out of your mouth goes into your head and down into your heart. And then you believe what you said. And that's the goal. That's the whole idea of declaring God's word and declaration. So we have this is my Bible. And then on the other sheet, you will see revelation in the word. And remember, on Wednesday nights, we are doing revival culture topics each month. And so this month, we are studying the revelation and the word. Excuse me. Get rid of that gum. The revelation and the word is all about the Holy Spirit and how he ministers to us through the word of God. And we're just going to declare these together, and then you can stick them in your Bible, or you can put them on your refrigerator, however you want to do it. Do you all have them? Oh, wait a minute. I'll wait a little bit. I could talk about something else. Let's see. It's going to be a little while. Okay. Let's go on to something else. I'll talk about this. This is what we'll do. I was challenged this week because I'm meeting with a young lady, and we're kind of going through this mentoring thing for you ladies that were at the women's conference. We're trying to connect on a deep, deep level, women to women, to kind of encourage each other and celebrate God's call on their lives and just really, really explode dreams in one another and just champion each other in that. So I'm meeting with a young lady, and when we talked last week, I said, okay, this is your challenge. You are to ask God again what his call is over your life and then write it down. And before I could think about it, I said, I'll do that too. And I'm like, oh man, that's homework. So, but I've been kind of seeking God and just asking him and just kind of trying to see, now what was it you told me to do with my life? You know what I mean? And sometimes I believe it's just a good thing to revisit and just kind of ask him again, am I on the right path? Is this what you want me to do? And where is my focus supposed to be? And where is my purpose? And sometimes doing these things on purpose are really healthy. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I think it's for a couple of you specifically, and I'm not going to call you out or whatever, but just to kind of encourage you to do the same thing, is to take some time and just sit with the Holy Spirit and ask God. And you know, it doesn't have to be hour blocks. It can just be any time that you're communing with him throughout the day. Just talk about it. Say, Holy Spirit, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I on the right track? Do I need to focus on a certain area in my life, in my dreams, in my calling, in my vision, the vision you have for me? In Proverbs 29:18, this is a really powerful scripture verse. It says, where there is no vision from God, the people run wild. And this is a different version, obviously. But those who adhere to God's instruction know genuine happiness. Isn't that the call of everybody's heart, to be happy? We all want to be happy, right? Well, it says here, if we don't know what God's called us to do, we're not going to be happy. And not only that, but we're going to be running around wild, not knowing where we're going, just kind of unrestrained, doing this and doing that and trying to get into this and getting into that and wasting all of our years. You're going to wake up one day and go, oh, why didn't I start this a long time ago, right? So it's a good idea to ask the Father, what is your dream for me? That word vision can be translated dream. It can be translated mental sight. What is your mental, what is supposed to be my mental sight for my life? The revelation, the oracle. And this is prophetic as well. My version is this is how I would translate it. It's not in the Greek or anything. The prophetic roadmap. So I said, God, what is your prophetic roadmap for my life? Because you know what? I can get really busy. I'm good at being busy. How many in here can understand that? We are good at being busy, right? We have so many things we can get busy with. But that's without restraint. If we're not focused on what God's called us to do, we run wild and we're all over the place. You know, Adrian would just finish nursing school and now he's in his master's program. But he hated busy work. It's my husband, for those of you that don't know. He would come home and he's like, I'm just doing this busy work and it's driving me crazy. There's no purpose to it, right? And that's how we feel sometimes. We're just running around without restraint, wild. We're just wearing ourselves out. And God, is this even what we're supposed to be doing? And I believe God wants to refine that this week for some of you and just really pour into you and just confirm some things to you. So if that's you, just jot it down. Challenge yourself to write down your vision. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write down the vision. Write it clearly on tablets so that anyone who reads it can run. Man, wouldn't that be awesome to know exactly what you're called to do and run after it? Without fear, you're unrestrained running now towards the vision. You know where you're going. You know what you're called to do. That is what he wants for us. That's what he wants for us. He wants to keep his direction in front of us so that we can run. So just wanted to share that with you. But I want to declare that over here in this whole sanctuary today, that this is a deployment. It's not just a Wednesday night service. Because we are called to raise up an army. Amen. We are to make believers of truth out of those who are believing lies. You know, all of us believe lies once in a while. And the truth is going to invade our hearts and we're going to be believers of truth. We are going to empower ourselves by the work of the Holy Spirit to become liberators. Not only to be set free from the lies of the enemy, but you are to set others free as well. You are liberators. You are those who will destroy the enemy's work. Those who are ready to dispossess territory. That's it. Pastor Troy and Pastor Jim, we've all been talking about it. We've all heard it. It's time to go do it. We're dispossessing territory where the enemy has lied. We're taking that back. So tonight I'm speaking to an army of liberators, an army of believers, and an army of empowerers. That's who you are. Declaring that today, that is who you are. You showed up to a Wednesday night service, but you are being given an assignment. Reconfirming assignment. Amen. So do you have your papers? All right. Let's take the one that says Revelation in the Word, and we're just going to declare this, and this will be our month, our whole month declaration. And those who preach after me can choose to use it or not. They don't have to. This is for you. This is your job. Ready? So let's declare number one. I love to read the Bible. It's not a chore. Number two, you ready? Revelation makes the Bible alive to me. Number three, I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, these sound really simple, but in the middle of a lie, in the middle of a fight, you declare these and you're gonna win. Number four, the truth of the word sets me and others free. Number five, my life causes others to hunger for God's word. Amen. So go ahead and declare those. And the reinforcements, I love to apply what we're talking about. So these are ways to apply this month's teaching. Take 15 minutes every day to audibly read and pray through the Bible. Sometimes I read out loud because it helps me hear it and understand it better. And sometimes it also declares God's word in the atmosphere in your house. So that's really powerful as well. Number two, find at least three Rhema words from the Bible. And we're going to talk a little bit about Logos and Rhema tonight. But man, search them out. God will give them to you. And those will be precious treasures that you can hold on to. Number three, read a book of the Bible that you haven't recently read. You know, I've noticed that I go to certain books, you know, I like go to my certain books and I kind of forget that I'm purposefully needing to explore different books that I haven't read in a while. Number four, memorize one portion of scripture daily. Challenge, right? That's a challenge. My mom always used to put a scripture in our pocket. And so even if you have to do that, I had some 3x5 cards for years and I would just read them on my way to work. I wasn't supposed to do that in the car, but I would. Number five, participate in a program in which you read through the Bible in a year. And we have that, don't we, Melody? So raise your hand really quick. If you are interested in that, they're starting that again in January. And they do that once a month. They meet right here, right, on a Saturday. So I think you can sign up in the foyer. But just really powerful, powerful things to get this just kind of activated in your life. So we are going to talk tonight about supernatural Bible reading. Never heard a message like that until I listened and studied and prepared this one. So I'm really excited. Got a couple really easy ways to take notes. We're going to do an acronym through it, and I'll try to hurry up and get you out of here on time to put your kids to bed. So, but the purpose of supernatural Bible reading is so that we can defeat the devil in our life and in the lives of others. In Revelation 12:11. It says they triumphed over him. Who are they talking about? The devil. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. These were powerful army, right? Mercenaries of God, defeating the devil, going after him. And that's what we're called to do. The blood of the Lamb, we talked a little bit about what Jesus did for us. He is the captain of our salvation. He's the anchor. He's the one that paid the price so that we could be one with the Father. The word of our testimony in that scripture verse is the preaching of the gospel. So when we preach the gospel, when we declare the good news, we are defeating the devil. Now, what is the good news? Jesus. Right? Jesus is the word, right? When we declare God's word, when we preach the gospel, even if we're preaching to ourselves, which we're going to talk about that too, we need to start preaching to ourselves. When we start preaching to ourselves, we are defeating the devil. So now you look at that scripture verse again, and it says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, staying really close to Jesus, allowing him to be the captain of our salvation, our anchor, the one that we connect to, right? He's our advocate. And declaring the word of the Lord over all our life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Even the word, it's all about Jesus. Awesome, right? So I don't know how this happened, but I think the majority, look around, we have two full sections, three almost, that are empty, right? On Sunday morning, these are full. For some reason, the church, by and large, has decided 1 hour a week of declaring the gospel is good enough, right? 1 hour a week of preaching the word, hearing the preaching of the word, is good enough, but it's not going to cut it, is it? It's not going to cut it. We need to learn to preach the word to ourselves. Declare the word to ourselves. When we declare the word, we're declaring truth. John 8:4 says, the devil is a liar. 8:44, sorry. The devil is a liar. The scripture verse is a lot longer, so look it up. This is just a summary of it. And he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. You know that when we believe a lie, this is simple, but it's so powerful. When we believe a lie, we are empowering the liar. When we believe one of the lying whispers that the devil whispers in our ear, whether it's a memory, whether it's a thought, whether it's just discouragement, we are empowering him. Who in here wants to empower the devil in our life? No way. We all hate him. He's the only one we're allowed to hate, and we do it well. Amen? He is constantly preaching to us. Right? We come and listen to Pastor Kayton 1 hour a week, and then we leave, and the devil takes over, and he's telling us all these little lies. You're not good enough. You're just a girl. You talk funny. You're too big. You're too little. Right? You're not smart enough. You didn't go to college. Your voice sounds stupid. I mean, it doesn't matter. He constantly, constantly, constantly lies. So he's preaching to us. We've got to learn how to preach to ourselves so that these lies are stopped. You remember the scripture verse in Song of Solomon, I believe? The little foxes? Yep. It's the little foxes. It's the little lies. He doesn't have to come at us with huge things to stop us, to get us off of our focus, right? He just does the little things. I mean, your hair looks dumb today, right? It doesn't take that much to build off of what he has already built. And let me show you what I mean. Song of Solomon talks about little foxes, and I'm going to ask you to just kind of pretend like they're little blocks, okay? So, this is from when I was a kid. He said, "You sound dumb when you talk, so don't talk. It's better to be quiet than sound stupid." So these are my foundation blocks from when I was a kid. So now, he lets me hear something. Well, girls always sound dumb. Okay, so now I have this memory. "You're not called to preach, you're just the pastor's daughter." Okay. "When you cry, you really sound stupid." "The reason they don't come is because Pastor Kayton's not preaching." "You didn't go to Bible college, so you really don't know what you're talking about." So do you see what's happening? It's becoming a fortress. It's becoming a stronghold in your mind. Now, these are cute little Legos, right? But we all know how many times the devil lies. Imagine, now don't get scared, but imagine all of those things coming at you and being built on you every single day. Where am I going? What vision am I fulfilling? What dream am I going towards if I have these walls and this stronghold around me? Nowhere. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to be quiet. Right? Now, that's a little window into my old lies, because I'm not stopped by that anymore. But you have them too, right? We all have them. But he's a liar. And we are going to learn how to pull down those strongholds that set themselves up in our imagination. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, and I use the Voice version. Have you guys ever read the Voice? It's kind of like almost like the Message Bible. So it's a little bit different in the wording. And sometimes that helps me understand it a little bit better. Because this scripture verse is so, everybody knows it. You've all heard it many, many times. And when we quote, sometimes the effectiveness, because we just know what it's going to say, right? But it says, "The weapons of our warfare," "the weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at the tearing down the strongholds erected against his truth." Remember that the little foxes, the little blocks that were erected against his truth in my life and in your life? We are demolishing arguments and ideas. Every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. What is the knowledge of the one true God? The vision he has for my life. The call he has on my life. We are taking prisoner of every thought, every emotion. I can be afraid when I come up here. I take that emotion as my prisoner. And I'm in control. It is not in control. Doesn't mean it goes away. Doesn't mean I'm never afraid. But I will go afraid. Amen? We are taking prisoner of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them into the obedience of the Anointed One. He has given us that authority. We can subdue those emotions and make them obey Jesus. That's powerful, isn't it? What you believe will empower your life. So what I believe empowers my life. That's why it's important to read the word with revelation. Where is this Bible? We read the word with the Holy Spirit so that he can show us and impart truth to us so that that belief will then empower our life. It's supernatural Bible reading. Hebrews 5:13, it's in the Amplified Version, talks about the milk of the word. For everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced and unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a spiritual infant. That word unskilled or skill means to do something, right? When you're skilled at something, you can do something. Right? When you're unskilled at something, you can't do anything. So if we are constantly only living on the milk of the word, that leaves us not doing anything with it. We don't have the skill to make it work in our life. We want to get past the milk of the word and go into a deeper place with the Bible. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He commands us to take it. That means to grab it. Take it as ours. And it becomes a weapon in our hand. Now, my husband is a CCW instructor. For those of you that don't know, he's a firearm instructor. So he'll have classes and he teaches people how to shoot. And he teaches people how to handle guns, and he's been doing it for years. So if you're ever around him, he will teach you how to hold a gun. He'll teach you how to shoot it. And he does a really good job at it. He's very serious about it because a gun is a dangerous thing. And if you don't know how to handle it, you shouldn't have it in your hand, right? You don't pick up a weapon unless you know how to use it, right? When we pick up the word of God, we need to know how to use it. We need to know how to handle our weapon and to make it work for us. We need to be comfortable with it. You know, I don't carry a gun. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. I don't carry a gun yet because I'm not comfortable with it. I don't want it in my purse. I'm not saying I'll never carry one. Maybe I will. But I'm going to get comfortable with it. I'm going to know what to do with it. Same thing with the word of God. We have the ability to use this as a weapon. Let's know how to use it. Amen? I'm going to tell a little story because just lighten it up a little bit. But you can't tell Precious. Anybody know Precious? Don't tell Precious because she's going to be mad at me. Do you guys know? Okay. So Troy went out of town. He went hunting. And I think this was Sunday night. And Jeremiah was in the basement. He's my nephew. And my sister, Rebecca, was home by herself. Jeremiah is like huge, though. He's like 6'4", 250 pounds. But he heard something in the basement. And so he's like, oh my gosh. So he was really scared, and he called his mom. He's like, Mom, I think there's somebody in the basement. Get the gun. I'm calling the police. So Becca wakes up, and she's freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh, Troy's not there. So she grabs this gun. Right. No, last time me and Becca went to the shooting range, she shot like twice and then left because it's too loud. I can make fun of her, but I can't make fun of Precious. So she left. So she doesn't really know how to handle the gun. Okay, so this is kind of a serious story, but at the end you'll feel a little bit better. So she's walking through her house, and Jeremiah is there, and he's coming. You know, they're kind of meeting together, and she has this gun. She doesn't even know if it's loaded. Right? Okay, so she's walking around, and all of a sudden, Precious walks out. She set her alarm to wake up in the middle of the night to hide Elf on the Shelf. She did. So Jeremiah had to call the police back and say, don't come. It was just a mistake. She was, you know, it was just a mistake. Nobody's in the house. But Becca was terrified, and Precious is really embarrassed, and blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of a dramatic story. But it proves a point. We need to learn how to use this word. Do we realize what we're holding in our hand? It might not be a dangerous thing, right? But how powerful would it be if we understand how to lock and load this thing and use it when we have it in our hearts? Use it when we have it in our mouths, right? So I'm taking Becca to the shooting range very soon. And I think she's going to stay this time. Anyways. So a fun acronym, we are going to learn 5 levels of supernatural Bible reading, and it's going to follow the word sword, okay? So you can put S down, and we're going to learn about the S of Bible reading. It's the survey reading. It's the Bible survey class of Bible school. And usually if you go, you have an Old Testament survey and a New Testament survey. Survey reading is just getting an overview of the word, understanding that, you know, you have gospels and you have epistles and you have covenants and you have the Old and New Testament, and you're going to learn about the finished work of the cross, and you're going to learn about the foundation and the basic doctrines and the deity of Christ. You know, it doesn't sound very simple, does it? There's a lot of meat there, but it's the first level of Bible reading. That's where we get an overview. That's where we get the washing of the water of the word. That's the pure milk of the word. And that is very necessary. Babies need milk. Babies need milk. They don't even need anything else, right? Until they're like 8 months old. They need milk. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We need to understand these things. Too many people in the church don't. Right? They don't understand that the Bible's not written in chronological order. That it goes back and forth, right? Some of these basic things are very important. Very important. We've lost this. You know why? Because we have too many other options. We have too many shows on TV and Netflix and Facebook, right? We have too much, too many other things to do. But we need to go back to devotional reading and studying the Word of God, getting into Bible studies in large amounts. There's so many quick, easy devotional books that give you one scripture verse here and one scripture verse there. And that's good. If that's all you can do, do it. But if you can turn off a show and read 5 chapters of the Bible, do it. Right? We've got to have strong Christians. You know, it could take the place of a lot of Christian counseling if you would just read the Bible. Look, I'm talking to me too. If I would just read the Bible, right, we would understand what God wants for our life. It's our counselor. So it's the beginning. We need to value it and stay tethered to it. This is important too. There's so many doctrines out there in churches. And you know, there's everything's good. And then there's like this one weird thing. And you're like, Is that right? Well, you don't have to go to Google if you know the word, right? You don't have to look in all the Google gossip of this preacher saying this and this preacher saying that. Just know the word for yourself. Amen. So let's go to W. After we survey read the Bible, We go to W and we wait and meditate. This is when we let the word work in us. We let the word change us. We read it and then we listen. What did that mean to me? How does that apply to my life? What did I get out of that message? If you ask a row of 10 people after Sunday morning what that message was about, how many are going to say the same thing? Probably none of them, because it all means something different to us. That's the beauty of the word. We wait and meditate. We pause for a moment and we ask, what hit me about that word? What did that verse mean to me? How does it apply to my life? Sometimes we read, and if it's starting to feel like you're just reading words on a page, slow down. While I agree with the whole read 5 chapters, read 10 chapters, if it begins to not mean anything, slow down. Take a scripture verse and chew on it, right? Get one and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it means. In Joshua 1:8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We don't have any excuse. We really don't. This word answers it all. But that's a lot of commitment, isn't it? That's a big deal to keep it in our mind day and night. We got to work. We got to clean the house. We have to have relationships, right? We can go on Facebook for a minute. We can watch TV for a minute. He still wants us to have fun. But guess what? We are committed. We're disciples. Let's remind ourselves. We're disciples. Disciples are students. We are students of Jesus Christ. So this should be a big deal in our life. Let's go on to O. O is get one personal word. If you have one right now, rhema word, it can change your life. It can change your life. When we meditate on the word and we allow the Holy Spirit access to our hearts, and he gives us a rhema word. You know, there's two ways to translate the word word in the Bible. The first word is logos, and it is the total inspired word of God. A lot of you guys know this, but some of you are just learning this for the first time. Logos, it's the total inspired word of God. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Who is it? Jesus. He is the word. He is logos. The whole book. And that's where this declaration could come into play. We're not going to say it right now, but that this is my Bible. Rhema is another way to translate word. Rhema means a right now word. It's when God takes the word and he makes it just for you. It's the spoken word of God to your heart. Holy Spirit often uses the logos word you have hidden in your heart. And he'll remind you of something you read and he'll go, yeah, that one. I'm going to use that for you. So it's important to get the logos in your heart. It's important to read the Bible, the survey of the Bible. But the rhema word comes when the Holy Spirit has access and he can breathe that word into you. It's like a target missile to destroy the stronghold, remember? It's like a bunker buster, right? Goes straight down to the foundation and it can destroy a stronghold that the enemy has worked on for years in your life. One word. It's powerful. Rhema words are powerful. They're vital for our growth, for our mission, right? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. When you look at that word, it's translated rhema. We don't live by bread alone, but we can live by a rhema word from God that can change our life. The quality of our life increases when we can identify what God has spoken to you. You only need a few target missiles to destroy the fortresses that the devil set up. That's it. It'll anchor you in difficult times, and it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We know we have a word. If you have one of those words, there is nothing, nobody can say to you to get you off track. I know I heard from God, right? I know I heard from his word for me, and I am not going to be deterred. They're very, very important. And the most important ones are words of promise and words of direction. God will give you rhema words of promises for your life and direction for your life. That way you can live by it. You can get direction from his word and go on no matter what obstacles come. See, these are regional too. And this is one of the things that he's been crying out in my heart is just write down all the words God has given your church in this region and declare them. Start praying them. Start prophesying them. Because those words are not going to, they're not going to waste. We are going to declare them. We are going to see them fulfilled. And I'm going to pass them on to the next generation. Amen? So that they know where they're going. Write the vision so they can run, right? They need to know what God said about Cleveland. They need to know what God said about this church. And it starts long, long time ago in the 70s. And God is going to see every word fulfilled. So those rhema words are very important. Logos is powerful, but giant killers need rhema. Logos is powerful, but if you want to kill giants, you better get a rhema word. You get rhema words by spending time with the Holy Spirit. You get rhema words by worshiping, by pursuing his presence, by making him a priority, by making the word a priority in your life, by separating yourself. Let's go on to R, resist self-defeating lies. And we're going to go back again a little bit into these little blocks here. The purpose for rhema is to defeat the lies in your head. You get the rhema into your mouth and you break the power of the agreement with the lie. It's very important that when we get a word from God, we begin to declare it. Because when we're declaring something and our ears hear it, our heart starts to believe it. Your brain can't be thinking a lie when you are speaking the truth, right? I'm not going to think I'm not good enough if I say, God has made me amazing. It doesn't work. You know, your brain gets confused and you're like, oh, okay, you're amazing. Our words are powerful. His words in our mouth are even more powerful. Amen? So how do you know if you're believing a lie? This is the tricky part. This is where we need Holy Spirit too. Because honestly, most of us are in denial. Most of us aren't ready to face that lie. Right? There's lies and we just don't even want to know they're there. That's maybe for next year. And God is so gracious. He'll like work on lie after lie easy and let us work through it. You know, he doesn't force us. He doesn't push us. But he's so faithful. And if we're just in communion with Holy Spirit and we feel the nudging, like, Mary, are you ready to work on that lie? Can I show you what we can do together if you work on that lie? Okay, I guess. And the minute you open yourself up, the minute you say yes, he's going to start revealing those strongholds that you might not even know are there. but he's going to give you the words to put in your mouth to destroy the work of the enemy. If you don't have a high level of hope, you are believing a lie. Any hopelessness in your life means there's a lie somewhere. Hopelessness does not belong in our lives. Ever. Ever. Romans 5:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, right? What are we believing? Whatever we're believing should be filling us with joy and peace. So we should, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Joy and peace should be increasing in our life because of what we're believing. Our declarations are not to make things magically appear. You know, the church went through a season. Ooh, I'm so glad it's over. Right? That name it and claim it. Doesn't work that way. The reason we speak the word is so it changes what we believe. And what we believe empowers our life. Amen? So when we believe something, our life is headed that way. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You translate that one, rhema, by the word of God, by the rhema of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. D, oh, you ready? This is the last one. It's 8:13. Be done in a little bit. Diligently transform your future through the word of God. This is the last level of supernatural Bible reading. We are to diligently transform our future through the word of God. God's word has power if we apply it. If we apply it, we cannot afford to be passive, right? We think because we attend church, our lives should be great. I go to church. I take my family, right? Wrong. It's our application, not our attendance, that transforms our life. You can attend every single day if you want, but if you don't apply what the word says, it's not going to change anything. It's just not going to take care of the lies unless we send them out like bunker busters. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, and this is in the Amplified Bible, says, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied to you in the true intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for life and godliness through a true personal knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises, right? The rhema, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire. Basically, you're not stuck being like everybody else in the world without Jesus. And you now become sharers of the divine nature. So you go to verse 2, and we're going to break it down a little bit. True and intimate knowledge. That's the kind of knowledge you don't get by just attending church. How are we true and intimate with somebody? We all know that. You spend time with them. You spend time with them. You are vulnerable with them. You learn about them. You get to know them. That's the kind of relationship that we are called to. We cannot do it. We can't transform our lives unless we are spending time with the Holy Spirit and the Word. Verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need to transform our lives. Everything. We have the Holy Spirit and the Word. What else do we need? Nothing. He's given us everything, and it says it right there. We have everything we need. We are empowered. We are not victims. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you got to remind yourself that. Mary, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are not a victim. There is nothing wrong with you. Now, I'm talking to me. But seriously, sometimes I have to do that. You need to choose to be happy today, girl. Even if you're crying while you're saying it. Right? I've done that many times. Verse 4, by these, because of the truth, because of this truth being applied in your life. That word translates to basically that. Because you've done this, his rhema promises are yours. And you now become a sharer of his divine nature. Do you know that makes us look like Jesus to this world? They look at us and they go, you're different. I want to be like you. Where do I go to find what you're doing? Can I follow you? I mean, they're going to be so attracted to us. They're attracted to a transformed life. We actually have the characteristics of God. That's crazy. The divine nature is carrying a characteristic of God in our life. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. You guys know all know this scripture verse. By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Being transformed is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you work at it, and if you apply God's word, you will see growth. You will see growth. And it won't be easy. Sometimes you got to let somebody be mean to you. I had to do that today. She was so mean to me. If I could even tell you what she accused me of, I can't though, because Holy Spirit will beat me up very nicely, but he will. But I had to love her. I had to say, can I do anything for you? I'm praying for you. And I so deserve to get mad at her. But I'm being transformed. And I don't care if it hurts. And I don't care if I look bad. I have to love her, right? We have to love. We have to be transformed. The earth's groaning, right? Current mind renewal brings future transformation of our lives. It's like working out in the gym, right? You don't see big muscles right away. You don't see the pounds shed, right? But you're consistently transforming. You're consistently transforming your mind, renewing your mind, not believing the lies, but applying the truth. And that's, again, where that Bible declaration comes in. Declare it. This Bible is my life. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Man, all we got to do is let this word do its work. Understand how powerful it is and then use it to divide those lies and that truth in our mind. Get those lies out of there. I am walking as a child of God, and there is nothing, no other options, period. No other options. Amen? Our weapon is the word. We got to use it. Remember, we don't pick up a weapon unless we intend to use it. Amen? He clearly states here that it is made to pierce through the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. Even Abraham needed a rhema word. Remember when he was told he was going to be the father of many nations, but he was already old and so was his wife? You all know the scripture verses in Romans where he says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Even when we're faced with facts, We hold on to truth, right? We hold on to truth. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. The truth of his word is what matters. We are becoming fully convinced, and it is a journey. Can you say that with me? Say, I am becoming fully convinced. Matthew 4:4 again says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I wanted to close that with this scripture verse because I believe Jesus was likening it to as we need food, as our body needs nourished, our spirit and our soul needs nourished constantly with the word. You know, a healthy person that's got a good metabolism needs to eat about every 2.5 hours. A healthy Christian, right? We can't go a day without the word. We can't. Not for what we have to do. Not for what our mission is. We've got a mission. Remember in the beginning, who we are? Who you are right now in this room are liberators. You're not just called to destroy your strongholds in your mind. We've got a lot of work to do because there's a lot of lies built up in people that need help. They need us to go out and be liberators for them, to destroy the works of the enemy. So tonight, while we close, I thought we could just pray for a hunger, a renewed hunger for the word of God, a renewed hunger. Just like we wake up and go for the coffee. It's like, wake up and go for the word. It's like the word of God, just like coffee, for me at least. If you haven't really been in the word very much, I'm going to challenge you to start in the book of John. Read the story of Jesus. Understand who he was. Study the epistles. Go to the letters that Paul wrote. Understand his instructions to the church. Really learn the power and the work of the cross. And then read the rest of the Bible through that lens. Read the rest of the Bible through what Jesus did on the cross. And it'll change your life. It really will change your life. So let's pray today. Let's pray tonight, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift it is to our life, that you've given us everything we need. You filled us with the Holy Spirit. God, you've given us your word. I just pray for a renewed hunger in this room for your word, God, that there would be such a response to even the class where they're reading through the Bible for the whole entire year. God, that we would search out for your rhema word. We would write down the vision and the purpose and the call that you've given to us in our life. God, and that we would just hunger for your presence. Renew it in here tonight, God. A passion, a hunger, just like we hunger for bread, Father. Let us hunger for your word. Let us create a foundation, a logos foundation in our hearts so that the Holy Spirit will have something to pull from. God, when we're ministering to people or when you want to minister to us, God, let us devour it. Let us become disciples of your word so we would know who you are. I just pray for those in here, God, that might not know what their call is, that might not know what the vision for their life is, God. It's a scary place to be. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would just pour it out over them. You don't hold back. You don't hold any good thing from your children. And I just pray tonight, God, that if there's anyone in here that's searching, that's crying out to know what you've called them to do, God, that you would reveal it. Let it be a rhema word to them tonight. God, confirm it through your word and through people that love them and that cover them. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for revealing purpose, for revealing destiny, God. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom and the strength to apply this word, to not let it just be a devotional, to not let it just be milk, but not be satisfied there. But that after we're grown up in our salvation, that we would push harder, that we would push further, Lord God, to destroy the works of the enemy in our lives, so that we can become liberators for those around us, for our children, God, for the next generation. That our lives would be transformed, that we would look like Jesus, that we would truly have the character of God. Do whatever you have to do, Holy Spirit. Speak loud and speak clear. We truly want to be like you. We truly want to see heaven on earth. And I just thank you, Father, that you are raising up an army. Dedicated, committed, disciplined. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're in here tonight and you need any prayer for anything, I know that we have Legos all over the place, but I'll pick those up. But if you'd like to come up, I know that we have some altar ministers here that would like to pray with you. If you want some special ministry, don't want you to leave feeling broken, feeling empty. We want you to leave full of hope, full of peace, and full of joy, because that's who he is. So before we close, maybe you can come up and we'll just pray, but everybody else can be dismissed. We just thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being here. And just go and liberate. Amen.